Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
I want to speak and probably start a series on a subject called the law of increase. The law of increase. God's law of increase. There are certain laws that we can apply from the Lord to bring increase. And Jesus is currently increasing his kingdom through his people all over the world. The kingdom of heaven is advancing. It's growing. It's increasing. And God wants us to have this mindset of increase. So in other words, what we've seen so far is going to get greater and bigger. So that's a really important subject on the heart of God, that we don't just live with our current scene, either individually as Christians or as a church together. I know that we are in a season of increase. It's been an amazing week this week. We got to the end of this week and I began to thank God for specific things that I know about. And I'm not the Lord. I don't know everything that's been going on through your lives and through your prayers and all that's been happening. But there was David's miracle. Then there was Miles's miracle. And I started to just give thanks. Then there were two people saved through the church this week. There are a number of people doing life worth living. The projects are reaching people, speaking God's word to so many people. There are just amazing things happening. And then there was the healing meeting where we saw people healed and people touched and affected by the Lord. I mean, these are exciting times. And, you know, we need to give thanks for what God is already doing. It's just amazing. There is increase happening. There's fruitfulness happening. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, it's just so important that we see that this is happening amongst us. And I give honor to God. I give all the glory to the Lord. But I also want to thank God for you who are partnering with him for increase. But we're going to understand some more things through this series that's going to equip us to see more fruit and more growth. I'm going to start with a scripture in Isaiah 54. If you turn there. Isaiah chapter 54, and it's all about increase. It's about expansion and growth. Isaiah 54, and God speaks to his people, and he speaks to his people like they're barren women. Now, it's not that we haven't seen fruit yet, but there is a lot of fruit we haven't yet seen. So sometimes we need to approach our lives with what we haven't yet seen happen, which is called faith. There are things you haven't yet seen God do in and through your life. There's fruit you haven't yet experienced. It's so exciting to be a Christian to know that there is things to yet see happen in the future. And so God speaks to his people and he says, sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will. Get ready for growth because you will spread out to the right and to the left and your descendants will, not might. It's not an assessment from the government. This is God speaking. You will dispossess nations and settle in the desolate city. So in other words, I want my people to start singing and getting happy for future fruit and growth. Hallelujah. You know, you're really happy when you know something good's coming. When you know something good is going to happen. You're not happy if you just think this is it. I can't think of a worse life than thinking this is life. This is it, routines. Just the same old. And God is saying, it's not going to be same old. Expand, enlarge your thinking, get bigger thinking and bigger believing, because there's going to be a lot more fruit that is going to be added to you and to us. So we haven't yet seen the fruit that God is going to and has promised to give us. But before we see the fruit, he says, I want my people to start to expand and stretch out like a tent that's actually looking bigger so that you can get more people in. So don't just think of the people you've got in your family, in your church, in your faith group, in your project, in your witnessing. Start to think many more are going to be coming into your, under your influence. There's going to be a lot more fruit in our young people, with our children. It's exciting. If you actually start to think that way, if you sit here and think this is just another motivational message, it isn't a motivational message, it's a message from God, because this is in his word. So it's God who's speaking today. And so he's saying, stretch out, go further, go plan for growth. Like Caleb we heard of last week. At 85, he was already in the land of promise, but he said to Joshua, I can see the hill country, and there are giants there, but I'm going to go and take it. Send me out to take that. So at 85, he was saying, I'm going to do a big stretch on my life to see more happen. So at no season in life do we qualify for downsizing in fruit. Yes. Pastor Michael and June may be downsizing in their home, but they're not downsizing fruitfulness. And no, you do not have a right to downsize your thinking about what God can do through your life. You have no right to block what God wants to do. And so this small, limited thinking needs to be broken off us so that we can have an expansive sight and believing that is able to embrace a whole lot more fruit. So I'm saying to you this morning, stop thinking small. Think big. I went to the gym this week. And it's something that I don't really like doing, but I know I have to. And on Tuesday morning, before breakfast, I pray first and then go to the gym occasionally. I always pray, but I occasionally go to the gym. And it needs to be set back in more solid in my life currently. So I was there before breakfast, and I've got this program that this trainer really, he's done for me. And he's a really nice bloke. I get on really well with him. We both get on really well with this guy. He's a funny man. And Eric is his name. Yes, he's famous now. His name's Eric. And I get towards the end of the program, and I just have this, you know, that big ball thing? Well, some of you may not. There's a big ball, a bit like a space hopper, but without the ears. Where you have to sort of do various pull-ups, push-ups, and all these kinds of very difficult things, which I don't like doing. So I get towards the end of the program, and I'm kicking this ball to the mat. I'm going, and Eric says, what's wrong? I said, well, I don't feel on top form. It's because I've not done the exercise recently, so I've lost strength. And so I just need to get back, but I just haven't been on top form physically. To, you know, and I'm just getting towards the end, and I'm like lethargic. You know, last thing before I can pack up and get a coffee. So Eric says, don't worry, I'll give you a new exercise. And I thought this was out of compassion. I thought, Eric, we have such a nice guy. So we've got these kind of practice mats on the floor of the gym. And so he puts the ball away and he lies down. He says, lie down this side. So I lay down. And he said, do what I'm doing. So he said, put your hands under your body. So you're lying flat. And then do like a scissors movement with your legs. Up, down, very slowly. Just that. And just start off with 10. Oh, fine. 1, 2, 3, 4. And you know when your muscles are, you're like, 5, 6. And I get to 9 and I said, no, I'm not doing another one. And he said, yes, you are. 1 more. I said, no. Yeah, just like, go on, 1 more. I said, no, I can't, Eric. Yes, you can, 1 more. Right, well done, 10. Then he said, 10 this way, the scissor effect this way. So I'm saying, I thought we were doing something easier than that ball. He said, this is good for you. So we did the scissors, legs. And again, I got to about 8, and I said, I can't do any more. Yeah, you can. He made me do 10. So I'm lying there going, well, at least I can have a coffee now. Then he said, 10 more of each. And I said, you are kidding. He said, go on, do it. I made myself, because I thought, right, I started, when, as soon as I get a little bit annoyed, I can do it. It's if I give in, I won't do it. But he started to get me where I can got be got. And he said, yeah, go on, do it. So I said, I'll prove I can do it then. So I did 10 of the, and I literally walked out thinking, tomorrow I will know I have been stretched. Now, the point of this story is that either the word or your circumstances or some of the things you see around you stretch you, or you just go back doing what you've always done. And I believe God wants us to be stretched beyond even what we feel comfortable with. Just like this, I was stretched beyond my experience. This morning, we couldn't find a woman. That's Eric, after me training him. No, it's not. And I believe that my norm can set limitations for what God wants to do through my life. And I believe that God does not want us to live with norms, even though they might be supernatural normal circumstances. I think we need to stretch and be stretched so that we can accomplish more fruit. And so I'm wanting to bring about a word of encouragement for the law of increase to happen in your life by you being stretched into it, by you making some kind of developing moves to grow out and stretch out so there can be more fruit in your life. Just as I was stretched physically, I believe God wants to stretch me spiritually. And I'm not just speaking for you. I'm speaking about things I have not yet seen happening through my life and ministry. I am believing God for things in this season that I haven't yet seen. And I want to encourage you. In fact, I want to compel you into greater things still. Please do not settle. Please don't stay the same in your fruitfulness. Show a kind of a stretching in your attitude and in your willingness to allow God to move you into greater things. This week I was praying from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, where Paul prays for the church, and he prays that our hearts will be flooded with light. And I was praying that for you. I was praying that your heart will be flooded with light, because we need to see the extravagant riches of his inheritance in us. We need to have, therefore, bigger thinking about what he has put in us. We need to have more light on having Christ in us, Jesus in us. And the scripture says it's the extravagant riches we needed to be flooded with light about. Not the just enough to get by as a Christian. Just as Pastor Andrea was saying earlier, it isn't about just getting by. It's about seeing the power that the early church saw as an ordinary, everyday occurrence. That is what we must continue to aim for. It must be something that we have a passion to see our young people, our children, every member of the church operating in signs and wonders and seeing God use them to reach the world. So if you haven't yet seen it, get stretching. And that must mean every person in this room, and that would include me. We need to be sure of what it means to be a Christian. We need to make sure we understand what it is and what it means to say we are Christians. Because there are many other religions around today that have viable religions and viable beliefs. They're not ours. But there needs to be something that marks out Christianity from all other religions. What separates us out from Buddhists? What makes us different from those who say they believe in Islam and Muhammad? What changes are there to say that we're Christian? What's the significance? What's the secret of being a Christian? Now, if I was to ask you, you probably would come up with some very good answers. Some of you would say, well, you must believe in Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God. Well, that's true. To be a Christian, some of you might say, means you're forgiven. And that's true. Some of you might come back and say, well, it means I've got an eternity with God. I'm going to heaven. That's true. Probably everybody in this room would say to be a Christian, you need to be a follower of the teachings of Christ. Which is true. But that isn't the greatest secret of them all. Because a Christian isn't just forgiven and isn't just going to heaven and isn't just a follower of the teachings of Christ. A Christian is radically different to just that. So we need to be sure that we really know what it is to be a Christian and to actually name the name of Christ with absolute wonder and not just, yes, I'm a Christian. Because I believe the greatness of what God has done for us needs to blow our minds into thinking great thoughts about our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. So turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 10, speaking about Jesus becoming man, the Word of God, God Himself becoming man. And in verse 10, it says, Jesus, He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The light that is in this word needs to flood your heart. The revelation of truth needs to hit your spirit this morning. A Christian is someone who has received Him. Has received Jesus. not just his teachings, not just his forgiveness, not just his cleansing of his blood, but we have received him. Muhammad never died, rose again, and now lives in his people. That's not true. They follow teachings, but they're still not born of God. To be a Hindu is something that you have to live good, try and be good, but you come back according to your previous life. That's not what I call a great life. A Christian is someone who has received him. Received Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. The God who said, I was dead, but I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and hell. I reign forever. This is who we have received. To those who have received him, people of God, you have him. That is the secret of Christianity. To those who received him, to those who believed in his name, we receive him because we believe in him. What does that mean? We trust him and accept what he has done for us. And we accept him into our hearts to live as Lord and Savior. I am no longer someone who's trying to be a Christian. I am a Christian. I am born of God. I am a child of God. And God himself has come to live in me. That is separating out Christianity from all other religions. This is the superiority of the Christian faith. We haven't just got a lifestyle. We haven't just got things we've got to do. We've got God. Amen. We've got God. I mean, if that isn't exciting, I don't think anything will ever excite you. That is the most amazing thing on God's earth. Sorry to shout about it, but sometimes religion can keep you quiet, locked up in what your old thinking was. God wants you to have a new thinking about what it means to be a Christian. That Jesus lives in you. And not just the Jesus who wept and cried and served in a human body. This Jesus is the Jesus who is ascended, a glorified King of kings, Lord of lords, conquering all things. It's no wonder you're an overcomer. You qualify because he lives in you. All other religions pale before Christianity. What other religion has given the God has given himself and then honored you and me by cleansing us with his blood and then coming to make us his dwelling place? What other religion has got such good news? We are blessed with every blessing in Christ. From the back to the front, let's believe this and turn the world upside down. This is the message that turns the world upside down. Look over in 1 John, from John to 1 John. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, but thank you, you've given us yourself. Amen. I have him. Oh, amen. Jesus. 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. I think these words are so amazing. This is the truth of God's word. Verse 11. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Are you listening? Not looking at someone else. This is important because this is God's word. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. Okay, we all say, yeah, if you get born again, you have eternal life. But it's much more than eternal life. Because this life, eternal life, is in his Son. Then it goes on to say, he who has the Son has life. So in other words, Jesus, you must have him to have eternal life. You can't go to heaven without Jesus. There's no other way into heaven without receiving Jesus, believing in his name, receiving the Son. Now, if you're born again, you believe in Jesus, you have the Son. That means you have life. This is the God kind of life, the same quality of life as the Son is in you because he himself lives in you. I think these are tremendous words. He who has the Son has life. What makes me a Christian is that I have Jesus. I've got Jesus. He sent his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, God himself, to fill all those who believe. That's me. God lives in me. 1 Corinthians. Let's look at this awesome truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Stretch us, Lord, in our thinking. Thank you, Father. Help us to see these wonderful things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I always thank God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. Thank God for you. Because his grace, his unearned favor and blessing, you could never earn having Jesus in your life. Free gift. That's the only way you can be saved, by grace through faith. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. I thank God for his grace given to you in Christ. Verse 5, for in Christ, in Jesus, you have been enriched in every way. Aren't these words amazing? For in him you have been. So in other words, not will be. It's not something in the future. You have been enriched. You have been made rich. Anyone in Christ here? You have been enriched in every way. There isn't one way that you need to be made rich. He has made you rich in every way. God himself is the answer for all of humanity. Now we know we follow the teachings of Christ because we know we need to know the truth. And truth sets us free. But Christianity isn't just about teaching. Christianity is about a person. And that person is God himself in you and me. Which makes it possible for every person in this room to act like God, think like God, speak like God, and do the works of God now. Are you believing this morning? I don't want to kind of be too funny about it, but imagine if I climbed into Louis's body. His voice would change. I would be living through him. There would be a manifestation of me through his life. God lives in you. I think it's possible that he could live through you. I think it will change the way you speak. It'll change the way you act, the things you do, because it's God himself living through you. Christianity, whoever receives him, that's the answer. We've received him. No other religion compares with Christianity. Why? Because it's about receiving the person. The answer for everything is him. Working in and through you, his plan and purpose, his will, to see all things coming under Christ. Eventually, the rule of God will be summed up in him, Christ. All things will end up in Christ. All things will be put under his feet. Now, we need to be stretched then to use what we have. Remember the gym? It's all very well saying, I go to the gym, but if I'm not stretched, there's no point in going. And it's all very well saying I'm a Christian, but if I'm not stretched, I'm not going to see the reality of what I can do. It's a stretching time, guys, so that what's in you, Christ himself, will be manifest through you. I want to hear more stories about what God's doing through you. We want to celebrate all the miracles that are happening through your life. It's time to be stretched into not just going to church, but being what really a Christian is, Christ in us. Lord, flood our hearts with light, that you might see the riches of your inheritance, the surpassing greatness of his power in and through those who believe. You are not powerless. How can a Christian be weak and powerless with Christ in them? That was a question. Can you? Are you weak and powerless? But what are we doing with what we've got? What are we exercising in? What are we moving forward with? What haven't we yet seen that we're going to do? That's the stretching that needs to happen in each one of you. I know what I'm being stretched in. I am being stretched. In every which way, I am making sure that my life is being pushed out of shape so that it can get into the God kind of shape. I'm sure you're enjoying this message. But is it because there's a stretch going on? Or is it because, I don't know, does anybody want a different level of fruitfulness in life? Brilliant. That's all I needed to keep preaching at you. Otherwise, I'd go and find another crowd who want to do what Jesus wants to do. We want this, don't we? We want to see the same works as Jesus. We're going. We're not settling. We're stretching for more fruit. Now, look in Acts 3, because we see a principle about being stretched. And the principle is, we see it in the life of Peter and John. Peter and John are, at this point, in the same condition as you and me. Okay? Peter and John have walked with Jesus. They've been born again or cleansed by his blood, and they've received God on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit came and filled them. So they have God living in them. So you could say Andy and Jane were going to a prayer meeting, or, you know, Simon or whoever. They were off to a prayer meeting. You can put yourself in here because you qualify for the same miracle. Mm. I just want the religion out of this church.
I want it out. I want to blow, Holy Spirit, take us out of where we're living and into another dimension. It is the cry of my heart that we don't just hear this, but we are stretched into living in it. So, James and Tommy were going to worship practice. May you be surprised by what you carry. May you live in a surprising reality of what it means to be a Christian. So they were going to a prayer meeting. Now, it was mid-afternoon, so there wasn't Hillsong or the worship team there, and there wasn't the atmosphere of a preacher, and it was just walking along. And they're getting to the door of the temple, so you could say they're coming to the building, and just outside at the traffic lights where the pedestrian crossing is, somebody's got a person there, a lame man is there, okay? Somebody with a need. So a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put out every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, "Look at us." Ah. Why? Because God's in us. Don't look up there. Look here. Yeah, you see, so quickly we defer to, "Oh Lord, would you come down, rain down from heaven and do something?" That's the wrong attitude for a Christian. It's God's here. He lives in me. So, when somebody's got a problem, you should be saying, "Look at me." Isn't it? It's not religious. You see, the guys hadn't kind of got religious yet, because religion actually stops the power. So this is when the power move was on, and we'll have that, won't we? Yeah. Shall we have a power move? Shall we do it? Shall we stretch out for that one? So they hadn't got religious and saying, "Well, let's just look to God." The word tells us the exact right words that they said. "Look at us." They actually believed that God was living in them. Yes. See, that's the issue, isn't it? Is actually living with that conscious awareness that God himself lives in me. And because of that, you can look at me. Because in the name, it's not in my name that I heal, it's in the name of Jesus. And he said, he spoke, "Look at us. I don't have silver or gold." In other words, I currently can't meet your material needs. What I'd like to be able to do is heal the sick and give them enough money to get going in life. I'd like both. It's a bit of a stretch, isn't it? Not just see lame people walk, but also have more than enough to provide for them to walk into training and get a job. Anyway, I thought I'd go a bit further with my thinking because I'm just wanting to take you a bit further. Come with me. Come on, come with me. Let's go a bit further. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he said, "Walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped on his feet and began to walk. Peter and John weren't messing around. They weren't showing off. They just knew what they had. They wanted to show Jesus off because Jesus was doing the same works as when he was in his physical body as he now in his new body, the church. Believers. I don't want to play safe and just get to heaven. I want this life. Now, I don't always see this happening through me, but I'm going for it. Anything that I haven't seen work yet It doesn't mean the Bible's wrong. It means I've got something quite, I just need to keep going until I see it. You understand that, don't you? I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stretch out. I'm not going to retract like a tortoise in the shell. Oh, we're the church, the mighty army of God. Come on, just let's defend ourselves till we get to glory. Let's not live like a tortoise. Let's get out into doing the works of Jesus. Peter said, what I have, I give. Give what you have. Give what you have. Because unless we give, we will never see increase. Do you remember the first time that you were bold enough to pray out loud for another person? Do you remember that feeling? Well, I didn't like it at all. And I had to pray for somebody. I was like all stumbling, was like nervous. What will they think about my words? I'm sure every word that I've got coming out of my mouth is wrong. I'm sure there's going to be a little checklist at the end to say, you were wrong there, you were wrong there, and you need to correct that. And you should have said that. Anybody remember those days when, yeah, you do? Yeah, it's not easy. But once I'd done it, I was stretching out into laying my hands on people till today when now I lay hands on them and they get healed. But you've got to start somewhere, guys. You've got to start to give what you have. Because if you're not a giver, you will be like the tortoise, shut down until you get to glory. Give what you have is the secret. Make room for a miracle. Peter and John could have said, I'll send somebody along with an offering later. But they wanted to meet the same need that Jesus would have met. They wanted to say, do you know what? We're here to show you that Jesus is alive and he lives in us. And so what I have, I give. And so there needs to be, can I have the previous slide, Christiana? We need to put ourselves in a place of stretching. Remember my gym trainer? He wanted to stretch me. I believe God wants to stretch each one of us. But Peter and John stopped where the guy was sick and said, right, let's get this guy healed. Don't walk past the sick. Heal them. Every day in your work, there's a situation where you could walk past or be stretched. Which one are you going to choose? Every day you get an opportunity to witness. Are you going to use it and be stretched or walk on? And the issue is always at the point where there's a demand that could be made on you, are you going to say, look at me, Christ lives in me, I can heal you. I can sort this. I can come up with a miracle for you. Yes, Lord. I tell you, this is good preaching, but you're not looking quite as excited as I thought you might. But I'm sure on the inside you are, because this is the real gospel. This is what true Christianity is all about. This is why Jesus died, to send his Holy Spirit. That you would be like Peter and John saying, well, look at us. What I have, I give. In the name of Jesus, walk. Praise God. Now, we can make room in many ways to give to different people and make room for God to move. One of them is hospitality. You can open up your home. You can go out for a pizza with somebody. And you can make room for God to use you in conversation with somebody. You can have people around at your house and say, I just want to share God with you. I want to pray for a miracle for you. By the end of the meeting or the meal, you can say to them, actually, you know, I believe God wants to change that. And what are you doing? You're stretching from just you and your wife to embracing another person and seeing fruit. Or you and your friends. Let's stretch our friendships to reach more people. Let's not get cliquey. Hello? Cliquey is dangerous to the kingdom. It's just me and my family. Me and my friends, we must spread out to embrace more, to see more people come in. Do life worth living with somebody. It's an anointed course. It's full of truth. Stretch out and say, I aim to do life worth living with somebody in this season. If you don't plan it, you won't do it. Will you? I know I have to have goals before I reach them. In the church, you see somebody discouraged, pray and ask God for a scripture. Hear God. And say, I've got something from God for you. When I was praying, or I had a dream in the night, God gave me a dream, and I can now share it with you. If it's directional, make sure that their faith group leader is with them, because there can be some weird and ridiculous prophecies that you must not listen to. But let's not throw out the whole thing, because God wants us to speak words of encouragement to encourage one another. Hello? Stretch out and bless others. What about another way of approaching the challenges in your life? See it as a God opportunity. It's an opportunity to grow. This last few weeks, we have labored, prayed, believed with Pastor Andrew and David. A lot of it was done initially in secret because we wanted to hear God personally about this very dangerous disease that he was diagnosed with. And we know that it's important that we hear God. And we just wanted to support them. And then when we announced it to you guys, it was like we were confident that there would be a good outcome. But do you know what? It really stretched us. If somebody gets a diagnosis in this church that is, the doctors say is terminal, it's going to stretch us. If you want to see God work a miracle, it'll stretch you. If we hear that somebody's lost a job, stretch and trust God. I mean, I bet Miles and Haley could say they've stretched out their faith and God has honored and worked in this situation, but they have grown bigger in God because of it. And we need to use our testing circumstances to get bigger in God. It's not that we can get bigger because Christ himself lives in us, but to have a greater experience of God in our lives. I believe if you're a teacher, you need to be asking God for solutions in your school. I believe whatever work you carry out, you should have solutions that go beyond the natural realm. If God lives in you, he actually knows how things get fixed. Ask God for solutions with your workplace. Is there a business that's struggling? Pray and say, God, give me a solution. Do I need to come with a word, something that would, an idea that would break open a new sphere of business opportunity? We are the solution finders. We are the healers in the name of Jesus. We are the ones that actually have the power to change things. Look at us. Something's going wrong in my business. Look at us. We've got a solution. Christ in me. I'm going to pray like Daniel, and he will reveal to me the secrets that are hidden that I can bring and change this circumstance. Raising your kids. What are the solutions that are coming up in their lives? Where there's a bullying situation, or there's something going wrong in their attitude. Lord, I want to have the answer. So that what I speak is going to change my child and bring them into your will. We have what it takes to win. Please don't get ordinary at work and pretend to be ordinary on supernatural on a Sunday. Live a supernatural life. Live this day in, day out. This is the life that Jesus has given us. He's given us himself. Amen. I'm going to finish just with some testimonies, because You know, when we came into this year, we were seeking God for a word for the year. And it was about, God gave us a word about a divine opportunities this year. And when we heard that word, we knew that we better make room for opportunities. And there are certain things that we are implementing in the church for growth. We've started a leadership development training in the church because we know that we're going to raise more leaders in the future who will see this church grow and embrace all the new people that are coming in. Hello? Yeah. So we are planning for increase. Every gospel meeting we have is actually a stretching on you and us. You go get them, bring them in, we get them saved. I know Jesus saves, but we're actually putting on and praying and seeking for souls. And that's next weekend, by the way. Go and get them in. Hello? Stretch yourself. Put yourself out. Otherwise, you just come to meetings. Same old, same old, same old. We're here to be stretched into a different experience. I actually think it's because you're feeling a little uncomfortable that you're perhaps not as excited as I thought you were. But this is why Jesus gave himself to us. Let's use what we have. Let's not go to heaven and say, well, I never used it, but I was glad I was saved. I want to see God use me to the same extent as the early church and even greater, because I believe for greater things in this season. We also planned radically to go around to faith groups and hold healing meetings. I think that's a stretch. We're not settling. So, we're running healing meetings. What does that mean? You bring them in. That's stretching you. And what's it doing to us? You should have seen us pray on Tuesday. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. I'm telling you, we were pacing up in my living room. I eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the words of knowledge and the gift of prophecy. I eagerly desire the gifts of healing. Lord, I want to thank you for a manifestation of the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit on Wednesday night so that the power of God will touch the world. Not let's have a prayer meeting. Hiya. All right. I believe that we get into a place where, like, Lord, I know I have it, but I eagerly desire it. It's one thing to have the Lord, but it's another thing to see the manifestation. There needs to be a desire in us to see the works of the Spirit. So, you know, we had our first one, which was a great opening meeting at Tony and Sharon's, and there was the opportunity to speak the word of God and to pray for the sick in that meeting. And there was healing in that meeting. Then we came to Paul and Franz, which is Pastor Michael and June's group as well, but Paul is the leader, new leader now, and ably assisted by his lovely wife. And, you know, their living room was absolutely jammed, and there were four new people there, unbelievers. Two from Franz's work, Dominica from Habitat, Gail brought, and a lady from Wellington, which I think Margaret brought. And, you know, we just, Pastor Andrew had heard the Lord about giving the testimonies that she gave and to speaking, and she knew that there was going to be somebody there that was bound up in fear and anxiety, and that person was there, and we believe that they were set free. But I just want to speak from this giving what you have. To be honest, I didn't think I had anything. And I was speaking, the gospel, I just gave a short message, and I'm sitting there going, it got to the time where, you know, let's lay hands on the sick. But I was determined not just to lay hands on them. I was determined for a manifestation of a gift. I wanted to stretch out into a different expression of the Holy Spirit. So I'm like, right, I said, now, I said it, the more I got towards the end of me having to come up with the goods, the slower my speech got. And I actually said, right, now I'm going to be really bold. Thinking, Lord, what's the word? Because I was looking for a word of knowledge. I need a word of knowledge for these people. Because you can see what's wrong with them, but I need to see. So that when I speak it, there's faith to receive. You would never have known, I don't think. Was I hiding it well? I'm going to be really bold. So I'm sitting there going, nothing, zero. Right. I believe there's someone here. That's a good start. This thought came into my head. With a skin problem, I felt nothing. Talk about on the water, talk about stretch. I didn't have any kind of, oh, goosebumps. Oh, anointing. Oh, this is fantastic. Yes. I just spoke. A skin problem. And I looked at you and went, it was almost like I was, help. I said, breathing. There's something wrong with somebody's breathing and there's been real chest issue. Just at that moment of silence, like, right, there's nobody here with that. That's brilliant. Talk about a nosedive. This is brilliant. I was just silence. And this visitor started to cry. That's me. I've had chest problems. I've had infections in my chest for 5 repetitive times, and it's really made me weak. And she's crying like a baby. Apparently, she was still crying all day Thursday. 3 days, she's been crying for 3 days. And I said, I'm like, thank you, God. Do you know what I mean? Because you know, when you give what you have, you're not absolutely, you've got to give it in faith. Yes. Without feeling it. I went, oh, Jesus, thank you. So anyway, come on, let's pray for you. So we laid hands on her. We spoke over her. The group stood up and began to pray. And then the skin problem started to come out every which way. It was like when Jesus, just one word and everybody had a skin problem. It was just amazing. Oh, I've got a skin problem. They've got it. And it was like mostly the healings that night and the anxiety. Those 3 things were what the Spirit was saying were the issues in those people. And that's what God did. What will remain in the hearts and lives of those people is that God is alive, that He speaks today, and that we have been stretching out for more fruit. But it's not going to happen if we don't get out on the water. Into that cold feet zone. Where you're still speaking, but inside you're going, this doesn't, I could do with something coming now, Holy Spirit. Now would be good. And you know, Jerry that night, he came at the end, he said, oh, Pastor Judith, the skin problem. He said, I've had a skin problem for days. And that night, half of it just disappeared. And I asked him this morning, all gone? Healed. Completely healed. His skin problem was healed. It's brilliant, isn't it? But you know, just imagine walking around this earth, having everything that it takes to heal every sickness, every disease out there, and not using it. I would call that a tragedy. It's like having a doctor on the scene who refuses to do anything. Now it needs to be because we're built up in believing that God has given us himself. that we have Christ himself in us. But we need to get our eyes flooded with light, don't we? So that we can see the riches that we have and begin to move in that power. Don't stop where you're at. Don't stop reaching people. Even if people haven't come so far, that's not stopping the Christ in you who's compelling us to go out and reach people. Don't stop using the power of the Holy Spirit to bring solutions in people's lives. Pray and seek God and say, Lord, give me a word now. And then say to them, don't be so blimmin' religious. Thus saith the Lord. I'm just going to prophesy. Oh, hallelujah. Just say, do you know what? I just have a sense that God's saying this. And, you know, I hope that really helps you. Or I've prayed and this is what I had. I believe God wants to really speak into that situation. But just do it naturally. Don't get all weird. I mean, can Peter and John look at us? What we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. That's pretty ordinary. It's not like a, I feel it. I feel the anointing coming down. I'm like, hey, look at us. What I have, I give. This is language that unbelievers can receive. Thank you, Jesus, for stretching us. I pray that this message will do a lot more than just bless your ears. I pray that you will know that Christianity is a whole lot more than what we think it is, because it means that he has given us himself, that Christ lives in us now, and that we have what is needed. In our personal challenges, we have what it takes to win. In the needs that are around us in the world, where God is sending us out, all of us, every week, he sends us out to reach people. We have what is required. And we can do all things through Christ, who lives in us and strengthens us to do that work. Let's stand together, shall we?
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.